Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Aazad Engineering Limited Q2 H1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer: this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. The statements are not the guarantees of the future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rakesh Chopra, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and season's greetings to everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today for the Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Murali Krishna, Managing Director, Mr. Meesho Valpani, Whole-time Director, Mr. Ronak Jaju, CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. The results and presentations are uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company's website. I hope everybody had a chance to look at it. In Q2 and H1 FY26, our performance has been financially assertive and strategically pivotal, driven by robust order inflows and progress on our planned CapEx, setting a strong foundation for sustained growth and long-term value creation. Financially, this has been our best-ever quarterly and half-yearly performance, with Q2 FY26 revenues reaching to INR 143 crores, up year-on-year by 28.1%. Our reported EBITDA margins improved by 35.7% in Q2 FY25 to 36% in Q2 FY26, while the PAT margin increased from 18.9% to 23.1% during the same period last year. Looking at our half-yearly performance, we reported a revenue of INR 277 crores in H1 FY26 compared to INR 210 crores in H1 FY25. Reported EBITDA margins were 36%, while PAT margin was 22.7%. On the business front, we are steadily advancing with our CapEx plans. We recently inaugurated one of a new lean manufacturing facility for Siemens at our Hyderabad plant. This state-of-the-art facility will support and supply of highly engineered complex prototype stationary wafers, along with critical components, subassemblies, and assemblies for advanced gas, industrial, and thermal flow turbine engines. Through this expansion, we aim to meet Siemens Energy's global demand in the power generation and essential industrial sectors. With this, we now have three dedicated lean factories inaugurated at the new site. Our plant expansion is underpinned by a robust order book reflecting the deep trust our customers place in us and reaffirming the consistent value we deliver through precision engineering innovation. Looking ahead, we see opportunities emerging within the indigenous engine manufacturing ecosystem as a key part of the global supply chain serving major engine manufacturers. We are well-positioned to capitalize on the government's push for indigenization, particularly through co-production and co-development programs for engines powering the other platforms. With production at our new facilities steadily ramping up, we anticipate a significantly stronger performance in the second half of FY26 and remain confident in achieving, as projected, 25%-30% top-line growth for the year. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Murali Krishna Pittiraju, our Managing Director.
Thank you, Mr. Rakesh Chopra. Over the years, our strength in engineering, innovation, and advanced manufacturing processes has enabled us to build deep and long-lasting partnerships with our key customers. These partnerships have transformed into repeat business, long-term contracts, and strong revenue visibility, reflecting the confidence of our customers' place in Azad's capabilities. Our success is deeply rooted in the trust and collaboration we share with our OEM partners. This quarter, we achieved several important milestones. First, with Mitsubishi, we received a phase two of the contract to supply highly engineered, complex rotating and stationary airfoils for advanced gas and thermal power turbine engines. With this expansion, the combined contract value with MHI now stands at ₹1,387 crores, a strong testament to our technical excellence, our growing strategic relationship with the company. Second, we inaugurated a dedicated facility for our client, as pointed out by Mr. Chopthar. Third, among others, we signed a memorandum of understanding with Safran Aircraft Engines, making our first long-term collaboration with this global leader. This agreement sets the framework for cooperation in developing critical rotating engine components for strategic defense platforms. This is an important step forward in strengthening India's aerospace ecosystem and reinforcing our position as a trusted partner in global supply chains. Our long-standing client relationships, deep industry insight, and expanding manufacturing capabilities continue to drive both repeat business and new orders. With that, I now hand the call over to Mr. Vishnu Malpani, our full-time director, to discuss.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Murlikrishna, for the update. Good day, everyone. My name is Vishnu Malpani, and I will share some operational insights and business insights about the recent quarter. This quarter has been a defining one for Azad. We've delivered our highest ever half-yearly and quarterly performance, setting new benchmarks not just in growth, but profitability and execution excellence as well. Our focus remains very, very clear. We want to build a future-ready Azad across all business segments that we are operating in: energy, aerospace and defense, and oil and gas. Each one of our segments is seeing strong tailwinds, and Azad is positioned not just to participate, but to lead our journey in these sectors. In energy, like Mr. Murlikrishna mentioned about the recent contracts that we signed with our global OEMs, we continue to strengthen our partnerships and scale our capabilities to meet rising demand. In aerospace and defense, along with the other initiatives, we've recently signed an MOU with Safran, which also gives the business, you know, opportunity to grow on the engine manufacturing side and affirms our credibility on the global stage. And in oil and gas, our precision components and qualifications continue to play a vital role for our growth of the future. Now I will take a moment to zoom into our standalone segment-wise business performance. The energy and oil and gas segment contributed 117 crores in quarter two of FY26, accounting for 81% of our overall revenues. On a half-yearly basis, the revenue of energy and oil and gas reported an 81.5% increase from H1 FY25. With a strong order book from major OEMs, Mitsubishi, GE, Siemens, we remain optimistic about the growth of the segment for the longer term. Turning to our aerospace and defense segment, this segment contributed 16.9% of our revenues for Q2 FY26 at INR 24 crores approximately, representing a 34% year-on-year growth. Our half-yearly performance reported an increase of about 30% as compared to H1 of FY25. We anticipate healthy, sustained growth in this segment in the years ahead. I'm also pleased to share that Azad VTC Private Limited, our subsidiary, has achieved NADCAP accreditation for coatings. This prestigious certification validates our commitment to meet the aerospace and defense industry's most stringent quality standards and positions Azad and its subsidiaries on the qualified manufacturers list. We are gearing up to capture opportunities across our business segments by setting a strong foundation for the next phase of innovation with our upcoming Center of Excellence. We are investing in technology, talent, and capacity, the foundations that will define the next phase of Azad's journey. Azad's story is one of precision, performance, and purpose, and we are just getting started. Thank you. I will now hand the call to Mr. Ronak Jaju, our Chief Financial Officer, to talk about our financial performance in detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Vishnu. We are pleased to present the outstanding performance for quarter 2 FY26 and first half of FY26, making a record breakthrough quarter and H1. Let me take you through the quarterly highlights for quarter 2 FY26. On revenue side, we have achieved the highest ever quarterly revenue of 142.67 crore, reflecting a robust market demand and successful execution of our growth roadmap. On EBITDA and EBITDA margin side, EBITDA stood at 51.36 crore with EBITDA margin of 36.02. The margin stabilized indicates effective cost control and amid operational expansions. Taking you a bit deep into the cost dynamics, raw material consumption has reduced during this particular quarter because of onboarding of domestic supplier and enhancing our supply chain resilience. Employee cost experienced a slight uptick driven by ongoing expansion efforts and strengthening of our management team. Other income increased mainly due to interest income on fixed deposit from the unspent QIP funds, contributing positively to the bottom line. Profitability. Net profit stood at 33 crores, showcasing a 57% increase compared to rupees 21 crore in quarter 2 FY25, emphasizing our improved operational efficiency and revenue growth. Let me take you through half yearly numbers. In H1 FY26, revenue growth. The revenue from operation rose to 277 crore, making a 32.1% increase over the H1 FY25. Profitability enhancement. EBITDA margin, it has improved to 36% from 34.71% in H1 FY25, driven by better cost management and optimized consumption. PAT growth. A remarkable 65%, underscoring our financial strength, health, and capacity to scale. On the working capital side, receivable and inventory level are in line with FY25 based on annualized data. Let me take you through our last discussion on working capital in initiative. On the supply chain side, we are progressing well on establishing a robust supply chain to facilitate raw material sourcing via distribution network. The initiative aims to resolve the minimum order quantity challenge, improve procurement agility, and ensure timely availability of raw material with lower inventory cycle. This should be start from quarter 4 of this particular year, and we will update more once it move during the quarter 3 FY26. This is all from my side now, and would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from Goldman. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. So first of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers and sustained good performance. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is on, if I look at the gross margin, so consumption expenses as a percentage of revenue have been going down quarter on quarter, year on year. In prepared remarks, you have mentioned that due to the efficient cost, I mean, the negotiations and domestic suppliers, this has gone down. So just wanted to understand, A, if you can explain a little bit more on domestic sourcing and price negotiation. Also, how much of it is sustainable? I mean, whether we will see it further going down or this is pretty much it, the level that we are seeing now. So that is my first question.
Right. So thank you, Amitji, for the question. The response to this question is, this is our efforts to indigenize the supply chain. So if you look at our working capital cycle, you know, we have been constantly working because most of the raw material gets imported across our verticals. So there was an attempt that we were trying to do to work with our customers to indigenize raw material supply chain in India. And over the last few years, we've been able to do that with energy. So we've gotten Sunflag and Starwire approved for a few grades, qualified for a few grades. And this reduction that you see is primarily a result of this. So we have, this will only ensure us that we have a better control on the supply chain, and this should, you know, sustain for us.
Okay, just to follow up on this, now since we are also seeing some of the companies coming up with aerospace grade titanium, and they are also getting qualified or in the process of getting qualified with the same set of suppliers. So do we expect that in aerospace as well, you know, due to the indigenous procurement, we can see this further coming down in future?
Hello, Amitji. Rakesh this side. Good morning.
Yeah.
So, Amitji, the question on the super alloys, right? This is something quite tricky. Unless and otherwise, our OEMs agree to, you know, take that task of qualifying the supplier, we would love to buy the material domestic, you know, but we are bound to go through the process. The OEM, we should have a clearance from our OEM. Then we can buy the metal from the local, the indigenized material. So we are in talks with our OEMs so that we can propose these Indian mills, and then we can see that. We look forward to it. We have full support. We would like to support that.
Great. The second one is essentially on Safran MOU. Again, a big step, I would say. So does it mean that now we are qualified with all the, we have a MOU stroke contract with almost all the global manufacturers, because I believe only Safran was missing from that list that you had. What does it mean for us, you know, in terms of domestic ecosystem? If you look at it, Safran is getting quite active procuring material for both the LEAP-1A, LEAP-1B engines. Also, Safran is one of the front runners for AMCA engine program. So how do you see, how do we see this going forward with Safran? And the part B of the question is that with AMCA now getting in traction, do we see our parts getting supplied over there? I mean, basically your involvement in the domestic engine ecosystem.
Okay, so on the Safran, yes, this is the first relationship kicked off with Safran, and as everyone is aware, Amitji, that Azad is specialized in, you know, the finish of the engines, the rotating and the stationary components, and if you try to say getting the recognition from these large OEMs. So the first OEM which we could break in was the Rolls-Royce. We got into both commercial as well as the defense engine programs. And that thing, we initiated the discussion initially. We had an assessment. We signed MOU. Then the technical assessment happened. And then we got into the contract. So this is a basic step which everyone has to follow. So with Safran, this is the second step. You know, the assessment is done and the MOU is signed. And definitely this is one of big breakthrough, which is going to get ultimately turned into a contract. Right? That's with Safran. And then there's one more OEM which we are expecting very soon for a similar part. You know, the pattern which we would like to get into. So as you rightly said, all the major OEMs, we should have it very shortly.
Okay. And the involvement in the domestic engine ecosystem?
Ah, sorry. Yeah. So yes, you're right. We are in discussions with a couple of OEMs for sure, for particularly the project you mentioned. And we are having very advanced discussions, which we are very hopeful, you know, to get into. We are already engaged with them, to be honest with you. We already started engaged with them. And I think the way it will go, because it's not really sure it's the engine AMCA has gone to Safran or Rolls-Royce, so we are not sure. And either ways, all the OEMs are with us. Doesn't matter wherever it goes for Azad's perspective for AMCA, whether it's Safran or Rolls-Royce or anyone else, you know, we are there in the race with all the four OEMs.
Great. That's nice to know. Just a follow-up on this, sir. This Safran MOU, you mentioned that the assessment has happened. So typically, how much time it will take for you to get the final contract?
Very soon, Michi. Very soon. Not only with Safran, other OEM also. You will come to know very soon about more details, as this is a defense application program. So I cannot speak much on this.
No, appreciate that. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you, Amitji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jai Chauhan from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. I'm audible.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So, sir, I have a question regarding the growth trajectory and the ramp up of the new facilities. Like in the FY24 earnings calls, management are guided that FY26 would be a big shift and an inflection point for revenue growth. And more recently in the Q4 FY25 and Q1 FY26 calls, the commentary has shifted, you know, to describing FY26 as years of stabilization, consolidation. So, with the ramp up being challenging and shift expected after this stabilization is complete. So, could you help us reconcile this change?
Yeah. Jay, I think we are very consistent in the guidance what we are giving, and we are very consistent in the achievements what we are achieving versus the guidance. And if you see the last, not one, two, you can see many quarters, you know, and the guidance versus the achievements are definitely matching. Now, coming to the growth trajectory, it's just December 23 is we have done the IPO, and technically it's been hardly 17, 18 months. We have the fund and the amount of what been happening on trying to build this facilities. Okay, the facilities which we are building are massive. They are not something small like we had 5 machine, 10 machine or 50 machines. That facility is coming, what we are, to be honest, is 10x what we are in. So if we try to just build the infrastructure of 500 to 600,000 square feet, that itself takes not less than, if you go super speed, not less than 2 to 3 years. But I appreciate my team, which is parallelly taking care of the existing growth, partly taking care of the machines and planning, partly taking care of the constructions of the facilities. And this is a huge amount of work which happens. And if I talk about the timeline, I think the team has done a great job in such a short time. They inaugurated 3 facilities and stabilizing them, getting the machines inside, arranging the manpower. And we are not talking about 2-digit things. We are all talking 3-digit. If you talk about manpower or square feet or the construction or the machines, and everything is an important stuff where we have to find the logistics, the 5-axis machines, the training program. And it's a big marathon task which is happening. So in this context, we would say we are struggling at the moment, you know, to manage the growth, to manage the facilities, to manage the customers, to manage the contracts. Quite a job. That's the reason we mentioned that the team is doing a great, great, great job. So the stabilization means all these activities, as these are all, it doesn't continue all long. once for all the factories will be done, once for all the machines will come, and then we finish up and then we go ahead with the productions and then we call, okay, we are now stabilized.
Understood, sir. Makes sense. So yeah. Is it fair to say that full non-linear growth impact from the new capacity is now more of an FY27 story, with FY26 being easier focus on, you know, commissioning of this new dedicated lean factories?
Yeah. So Jay, this is not, again, this is a parallel activity going on. Whatever value add creation happens, it's just supporting the stresses which is being made within the team where we all are working, you know, 24/7 to stabilize the new facility, to stabilize the existing growth, to stabilize the existing facility here, right? So everything is going in parallel. That's the beautiful planning happened in Azad. And such a short time, I request you to please visit us, and then you can imagine the amount of work being done, and it is substantially great. We are building one of the world's best factory, you know, the most innovations, and you can see highly techno. You know, you will see some great technology and under the roof built in such a short time, which is really, really remarkable. So I request you to please visit our new facility. You will have an idea what I'm speaking.
Sure, sir. We'll definitely try to set it up after this call. And sir, I have one more question on the contracts part. So you have mentioned the margins are largely stable due to long-term contracts and fixed pricing with customers. But there, you have some exposure like to high-value alloys and foreign exchange fluctuations. So how does the company mitigate this raw material price volatility and currency risk? And is there any clauses or hedging mechanisms in place to protect?
True. So if you notice Azad's exports, 94-95%. And so hence we have a natural hedge. Okay, the inflows and outflows are natural hedge. And it's been years we have been working in this, and 90% plus was always Azad's revenue was exports right from inception. So today we can say 93.9 to be precise is exports. So the risk of that factory is always covered, and it is covered.
So, sir, this is for foreign exchange fluctuations, but for, you know, the fluctuation, the raw material prices, so do we have any clauses for the same?
No, we have. Yes, we have. So, as I mentioned to Amit Ji also, you know, he was the last question, that we have approved sources from our OEM. So, we are only supposed to buy raw material from their approved sources. So, when the price agreement happens, it is a tri-party price agreement, right? So we have no choice. We have to go to the only supplier they send us, correct? So they can dictate terms. So what we show is, okay, this is, say, example, $10 or $1 a kilo price is fixed, and the contracts are long-term, and we see a 5-year, 7-year contract. So what we do is we have a cap of 5% fluctuation. A 5% fluctuation, we write them, we tell them, Azad's going to bear the 5%, absorb 5% fluctuations plus or minus. We'll do it. Above that, either you increase the price or ask your supplier to reduce the price. So that's also covered.
Understood, sir. And sir, also, since you have long-term contracts with global OEMs, do these contracts include any termination or cancellation clauses, since we invest a lot in our capex and we have a huge risk there? So is there any safeguards or lock-in mechanisms?
Every contract has that. Every contract has, you know, that we can cancel. See, if you don't perform, definitely they can cancel the contract, right?
Right.
Yeah. So these are very standard contracts which are favoring both of them. It's a win-win situation for both. And we are talking with this large OEM. They're not some companies which we see every day. Okay. If you see our customer base, they're like very reputed companies. Right. So they honor, and we also honor what we do, and it's not new to us now. Right. So we have some history with every OEM, and they have their own histories.
Understood, sir. And so one on the product side, we are mostly compressor airfoils, we would say, right?
Not exactly. We started with that. Now we have expanded our portfolio in and around the entire engine. So compressor, combustion, exhaust, they're there everywhere.
Because I think we are not in single crystal base, right, which is in the stage one of the...
No, not yet.
Understood, sir. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Good. Thanks, Jay. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure the management can address questions from all participants, please limit your inquiries to two per person. If you have a follow-up, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from ICICI Security. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So now that we have now three dedicated plants to our three biggest clients, I just wanted to understand how much more business opportunities we can actually get from them, considering our existing production portfolio and as well as or we need to increase the approval process for the more number of parts to get the business higher from that. On a steady state annual basis perspective I'm talking about.
Thank you Viraji for the question. So if you look at our wallet share with respect to our customer spend, whether it is energy, aerospace and defense and oil and gas, we are at about 1-1.5% of where we could be. So our wallet share is only about 1.5%. So the headroom for growth is definitely massive, which is also visible in the contracts that we're signing, right? So if you look at Mitsubishi, you know, we signed phase one of the contract in November 2024. We inaugurated the new facility in November, and then we inaugurated the facility in March 2025. And then now, you know, just a few weeks ago, we signed phase two of that contract. This is a clear sign that the demand for the products that Azad's making is very, very high, and this should continue for a longer period. So when we talk about our growth guidance and when our chairman spoke about growth guidance of 25-30%, that is taking into account the massive demand that we see across each of our customers. And one of the reasons we are building dedicated plants is because each of these customers can take us to, you know, the consolidated revenues that we are delivering as a business over time.
Noted. And sir, these plants which you have commissioned right now, so can you just give us the peak utilization timelines for the already existing commissioned plant and the next three or four sheds which are would be coming?
So this is something that's happening in parallel, right? So while the existing facilities that have been inaugurated are getting operational, and the facility that has been operational is ramping up production. So our sense is that, you know, over the next about 12 months, we would want to finish the entire plant in terms of construction, including move our manpower base, you know, to there. We are building a housing colony for our employees so that, you know, we are able to stabilize operations there. So in about 12 months, infrastructure should be up and running, and then slowly after that you will see each of the plant reaching its max capacity, right? But this should happen progressively.
So should we take 18 to 24 months as a peak utilization for the new plant?
I would urge you to look at it from a revenue guidance perspective and not from a utilization perspective. So I would urge you to think of our business from that and look at 25 to 30% growth year on year across our segments, and then you'll be able to derive it, which is very, very good, right? So, and we've maintained the guidance, we've beaten our guidance. So don't look at it from a utilization of capacity perspective, look at it from this perspective. Otherwise, you know, because we are working on different product lines, different machines. So if you look at it from a utilization perspective, you know, it may not give you the, you know, correct direction, but look at it from a revenue guidance that we've shared with you.
Noted. And any update on this for your forging plant, basically?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
Any update on that forging plant, basically?
So, yeah, so out of the sheds that we've inaugurated, factories that we've inaugurated for our customers, there were three factories, one for Siemens, Mitsubishi, and one for GE Steam. We've also had our forging plant, which is already in operation partly. you know, so we are setting that up, and you know, while the other plants get operational, this should also come up. So there are a few equipment that have been installed, deployed, and are running, and the others are work in progress. See, we are trying to, you know, it is important that everybody appreciates that this is a very complex project management exercise, right? Mr. Chopra touched upon it. We are building factories which are 10 times our size. We are deploying machines which are equivalent to what we have. We are hiring people, training them, ensuring that our machines are not idled. And all of this have to move parallelly while we have to grow at 30-35%. We have to not compromise on our margins. So this is a pretty complex project management, and I think we should credit, you know, Azad's, you know, vision and execution for it. So I would say that, you know, we are on target to achieve all the operational milestones that we have for the business. And this is massive, right? You've seen the facility firsthand to see the scale that we are looking at.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's all for my friend. Thank you and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Roy from Boring AMC, Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, sir. My first question is regarding your CMS plant. This is that your CMS plant is already completed.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is cracking.
Hello. Now is okay?
Yes, better.
My first question is related to the CMS plant. As you mentioned, your CMS plant is already completed. So can we expect a number from Q4 or Q1 next year? Which?
Thank you for your question. I think we attempted to address it in the last call as well. In the last question as well. See, we are inaugurating plants, deploying machines, and slowly ramping up production. So obviously in the H2 of this year, there will be contribution that you will see, but to what extent, you know, we'll only be able to talk about it in the next quarter, right? Because the machines are in the process of getting deployed, and employees are being deployed in that. But we will hit our revenue guidance that we've spoken about. We've already delivered 277 crores and we are on, you know, if you look at our ARR, we are on an ARR of about 577 crores today. So we should look at it, whether it comes out of the Siemens facility or the other dedicated facilities, we should hit our revenue guidance.
Okay, right. And regarding, say, your staff on MAO, so as you say, it is the first relationship with the company. So in what product we are going to make and how much time to take to validate our product?
Can you repeat that question again?
Regarding Saffron MAO, so what product we are going to make, and secondly, same and how much time take to validate the product from the Saffron side?
Actually, Saffron is a defense division, so we can't, you know, we can't reveal any more details on the, as it's a defense project for Saffron. It's a defense military engine, so we can't, we're not supposed to speak to anything.
Okay, and how much is time take to validate the product, or same thing, this, to ask, is it titanium or super developer?
We can't reveal anything there, sorry for this, but it's a defense thing and we have signed NDA with them.
See, I think the point to, so Mr. Rakesh, I think the point that you need to look at is, I think from an opportunity perspective, Azad today has relationship with all the aero engine manufacturers globally, right? And so that is important. And we are also, like we said, we operate in highly engineered and critical parts, which are mission and life critical. So we are going to be making critical parts for their platform. So this is an opportunity that will obviously convert from MOU to contract, qualification, production, and then ramp up. So this is the normal cycle of how every OEM's journey happens with, you know, a supplier like Azad. So it should follow the same thing.
Another point I would like to add. Another point I would like to add. Please make a note on these engines. You know, these engines are not an easy subject. These engines are the heart of an aircraft, whether it's a military or a civil. If these giants are signing up with Azad, definitely it's a big validation. That's the key. Once these validations, you know, it's a big validation of, you know, companies like Saffron, Rolls Royce coming in, working with Azad for these life critical components. It's one of a big thing. It's a one of a big thing, and definitely they find value in that. Definitely they find the capability. That's the reason, you know, we are there in the picture. So when we talk initially, what you signed up and how much time it takes, this is the point where this takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to get these products in the engine. It doesn't just, we have a contract and we just start supplying the parts like that, because this business is different. They have a lot of qualifications in it. There are a lot of, you know, approvals involved in this. So it takes its own time. So I request you, gentlemen, so please visit us and we can show you more in detail.
Right, sir. Last question, sir, second quarter, as you said, the total value is now 1,387 crore. So how much time to take this, complete this order, and in your outlook for...
It's a five-year contract, right? It's a five-year contract.
Okay.
It's a five-year contract. We have to finish this in 5 years.
It's a five-year contract. For any idea to get this third phase also from Mitsubishi?
As we ramp up capacity, they are always open. As my colleague Vishnu mentioned, we are increasing our market share, and this is evident that we are increasing our market share.
Right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant. In case for follow-up, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Pratik from Union Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Many congratulations, Rakesh and the team, for a stellar set of numbers. A couple of questions from my end. As we start commercializing our new capacities going ahead, maybe from next year onwards, do you reckon there can be a step up to the revenue growth momentum which we have already seen of 25-30%, which you have been guiding? Already first half has been north of 30%. With new capacities getting commercialized, do we sense a leg up in the revenue growth momentum going ahead?
Yeah, I think this is exactly, thank you for your question. This is exactly what we are telling. It's not a small thing you're attempting. It's evident of having a 10x capacity in less than 16 months. We can't expect that we can jump from day one. So that's the reason, always in the last con call also I say, and even in this I say, that FY26 is key for stabilization. We need to stabilize first. We need to put things in place. We have signed up contracts. We have committed the customers. So our focus should be more in stabilizing the factories, stabilizing the manpower, machines, process, because this is not something a normal two-axis, three-axis, a lathe machine or something that we put up in somewhere. It's a five-axis machine, high technology, and the many, many processes involved. As I mentioned every time, that these products are not easy, they're life-critical, so everything related to that stands to be very critical, right? We have to be very cautious in going in. So my humble request is FY26 is where I can see that we will stabilize. And I tell you, FY26 stabilization is a great marathon task achieved in a very, very challenging short time. I can assure you that. It's not easy. Yeah.
No, fair. Totally agree with you. But once things get stabilized, maybe a year down the line, there is a lot of scope, right, to accelerate our growth journey from being 25-30, because the opportunities are humongous across sectors. Aerospace, defense in itself can grow materially over time. Or you would be comfortable with this 25-30% range to over a medium term?
So, Vishnu Malpani here. So we'd urge to stick to the guidance that we're sharing, which is 25-30%. Like we've always done, we strive internally to beat our guidance, and internally we are chasing higher numbers, but for everybody, I think 25-30% is the guidance that we'd want to stick to the near term and medium term.
Got it. And on the margins front, as you mentioned, more and more indigenous stuff which we are trying to do, which is helping our margins trajectory. Is there room further for margins to improve from here on, or the band will...
So we are already delivering 36% margins, and I think we'd want to sustain that. And over time, I think as operational excellence kicks in, we'll have operating leverage that could further improve our EBITDA margin. See, one of qualification cycle in our business, you know, is not capitalized. We expense out the qualification cycle. So we expect to improve our margins in the future, but right now our focus is to sustain it and grow at 25 to 30%.
Got it. Once again, many congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, a couple of questions. So could you update on the status of the engine development contract with GTRE DRDO?
Hi, Vishal. Thanks for asking me a very nice question. Super excited. I would say first thing on your question, more than the deliveries, we all are super excited to get this first jet engine of the India, and being a very prestigious one, and we all are, especially my full attention is on that, and I would tell you that we are going to deliver it very soon, I think a couple of months more. We are going a bit stable on that, and we are on track to deliver that engine.
Okay, could we, how have the trials been? I mean, some of the milestones that you guys would have determined, are we meeting those milestones?
No, the first two engines what we are delivering trial will happen within DRDO. Okay. Post that, you know, because they will also have to stabilize. Being the first engine, they will do their trials in-house, and after that trials and once everything is done, then we will shift the test bed in Azad.
Okay. And
that is what we are guessing. I think that is the process. However, once we will know from MOD only, we will not know now. So that's what we presume. This is what we are thinking, that going forward we may also have to do the testing. But let's see. Let's first deliver the first two engines, and then that's more key.
Sure. So in terms of the milestones of the performance of the engine, in terms of the thrust and other parameters that you would be monitoring, so at this stage, is the engine meeting those parameters, those milestones?
No. It's too early, Vishal. That's all going to happen in India, not here.
Fair enough. And my other question is on working capital side. So when we say that we should see improvement in the second half, what will lead to this improvement in the second half?
Yeah, I think as mentioned previously also on the working capital, we also include that in stabilizing for FY26. That is also one of the key, and we have been telling right from the IPO stage that this working capital is a point which we all need to address. And there are specific reasons behind that working capital, which we are addressing, and we are quite successful in solving few of the issues. And FY26, I think this is also is going to be stabilized, and we are on track on that.
Okay. What are your capex plans for the next couple of years? How does the capex plan out 26, 27?
I think we are good with the fundraise what we have done. And on track, unless we see some more massive opportunity coming, but every opportunity is massive here in Azad, right? So, I urge every person, like, please allow FY26 to go away, go in a manner which we are very confident, and we are on track. And I believe that we'll see some very nice, journey going ahead.
But in case you have specific plans, in terms of if you can quantify the capex plans for this year and the next year, it will be helpful to me.
At the moment, I think it's very difficult to quantify, because we have already, for FY26, FY27, the capex has already been ordered, and FY28 also partially we have ordered, and going forward, the company will generate its own good enough cash so that we can balance the other requirements.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kaushik from Ashika Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I just wanted to, on the follow-up question of the last previous question only, I just wanted to understand till date how much capex have we deployed and how much capex have we invested. So, and with that investment, the what kind of the top lines that we are able to see?
So, thank you for your question. So, I think if you look at the deployment in capex, we've deployed roughly about 213 crores so far. That has been deployed. But if you want to understand what is the kind of revenue potential that you will see based on the deployment, so you should look at our QIP raise of 700 crores and look at the incremental asset turn that we are building for this business, which should be in the range of 1.7 to 1.8, right, and progressively taking it towards 2. So if you look at that deployment over the next few years, you should be able to understand what is the kind of revenue potential that the business would have with this deployment.
So please correct me. Am I right by assuming that 2,500 will be the total as top line that we can achieve with the total capex that we are into?
I mean, I would urge you to do the math yourself at 25 to 30% growth year on year from here and look at the asset turn deployment of 700 crores at 1.7, 1.8x and you will get the number. So I would not want to talk about what is the number because, you know, we're not giving any other guidance but 25 to 30% and you should be able to get your answer there.
Got it. Thanks for that. And second thing, sir, also there was another question on that the GTRE engine part. So once we have this engine completely coming into our existence, what kind of orders that we can see or like what is this specifically mean to India as a country and what Azad will be getting benefit out of it completely?
So this is a strategic defense contract. Yeah.
The first question, the answer I would give to this is I will feel very proud for the country, not for Azad, because this is the need of the hour, of the country, of this jet engine, and we all should be happy. We all should feel proud once these engines get successful. And rest follows, because it's a massive breakthrough, and we can't even quantify or imagine what could be the volume or what is the platform, because these are all defense strategic platforms which no one will know. But one thing is that we all should be happy and proud that we will develop our first jet engine.
And then suppose developing it the production will happen in our own factory?
Yes.
In Hyderabad,
own country, in Azad.
In Azad. And how much value addition will be done?
I think it's too early questions you're asking. As I mentioned, let's first test the engine and we all wait for the engine to successful, right?
Got it.
However, these numbers are not projected in our projections, so don't worry on that.
Sure. Thanks for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jainish Chera from Kenfin Family Office. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congrats on the good set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask in terms of tariffs, if you can throw some light as to how are they affecting you, if at all, and what are the countermeasures that you are taking?
So thank you for the question. See, I think we've addressed this before. Tariffs as a situation has been ever evolving, either for, you know, both for our customers and for us. We haven't seen any impact, proactive communications that is changing the way we are doing business today. Our deliveries have been lined up for the next 6 to 8 months and purchase orders are with us. So we are not seeing any change from that perspective, right? And you anyway know our price differential between Azad and the country. So we only compete with China, Japan, US and other suppliers, and we are maintaining a very healthy pricing delta from that perspective, right? And our product line is also very, very niche. So it's amongst the most critical components that are a part of these. So it's very difficult for an OEM that has spent the last 10, 15 years building this supply chain, getting products qualified, to just move it because of some cost impact. The decisions that OEMs take on these mission and life critical parts are not based on cost.
it is important to note that it's based on, you know, our ability to supply these or manufacture these parts. So we are not seeing any impact there, and we believe, you know, and that's why we are very confident about the guidance, whether it is a revenue or margins, right? So we'll stick to that.
So we understand that. I think the same thing in the previous calls, we said the same thing. My question was more to do with will it impact us in terms of deliveries? I'm certain that it is very critical and will it impact margins in any sense? It will not.
Yeah, that's what I said. We don't see any impact on our deliveries or margins.
Understood. And secondly, in terms of the upcoming lines, when are we expected to get more dedicated lines to get to get commercial?
I'm sorry, what? Can you repeat that again?
So there are 10 dedicated lines that you are developing, right? My understanding is correct.
So when you say dedicated lines, do you mean factories?
Yeah.
So we are building independent factories for our customers depending on the demand that we see for each one of them. So right now we have done 3, and you will see a few more coming up in the next few quarters.
If you can give some ballpark numbers of how many more are we expecting?
I'm sorry, we won't be able to share that. But I can tell you that we see a few coming in the coming quarters.
Thank you so much, sir. That's all for me.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nishant Agarwal from Koinur Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you'll have to be louder.
Okay, I'll have to be louder. First is congratulations on a good set of numbers. And my question is that have we started the construction for the phase 2 of our facility? That is the second unit?
No, so phase 2 we have not. So we want to complete phase 1, then start building phase 2.
Okay.
So this is in pipeline, right? So this is already lined up, but we would want to first finish the construction in the current boundary that we have, move it, and then slowly move to phase 2.
Okay. So the first phase we would be completing in the next 12 months?
Sorry?
The first
phase... Yeah, so we'll be complete. So over the next 12 months, we should be completing phase 1, right? And then post which, phase 2 will start. But any revenue guidance that we're giving over the next 3 to 4 years is not dependent on the second facility coming in.
Okay, understood.
Yeah, we are doing that because we see a massive demand, and that's why we will be moving to phase 2, but we don't see any impact on revenues with respect to phase 2.
Okay. And the second contract that we have signed with Mitsubishi, the contract is also for 5 years, no? We have to complete it in 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And how are we on the Rolls-Royce aircraft engine component, the order that we have got? So when are we going to start production for that?
So we are in the process of qualification. Next financial year, we'll start some deliveries.
Okay. Next financial year.
Yes.
Okay. Fine. I think I'm done with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand over the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
So I'd like to thank, you know, everyone for joining the call and giving us your time. We're very happy to share that we've had a stunning quarter and half yearly numbers, and happy that we've addressed most of the queries that came in. Thank you so much. We are looking for an exciting H2 ahead. And we would, in the next coming quarter, we would be talking more about how we are building and deploying CAPEX and how we are able to, you know, talk about the newer contracts and execution. So we'll talk about that in Q3 as well. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
On behalf of Azad Engineering Limited, thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.